Today we continue our Advent preaching series, and we're answering the question, why Christmas? Why do we celebrate Christmas? And we're looking at biblical reasons why we should celebrate Christmas. And the series was kicked off 2 weeks ago by Rachel, who talked about how Jesus reveals God to us, how we know a whole lot more about God because Jesus came into the world. Last week we shared how Jesus redefined love and how Jesus coming and taking on human flesh, the incarnation, is the greatest love story ever. Christmas reminds us that we are loved and we're not forgotten. Today we're answering the question of why Jesus came to earth using the very words of Jesus himself. And Jesus boldly declared just days from his crucifixion that he came to redeem the lost. Jesus makes this statement in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 19, and it comes right after a great story of Jesus, after he encounters Zacchaeus, who's the chief tax collector, who's hiding in a sycamore fig tree and hoping to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And Jesus, of course, spots Zacchaeus and calls him down out of the tree and then says, "Oh, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. I'm going to go there and stay with you." And Zacchaeus, of course, goes with Jesus to his home and declares his faith in Jesus. And he and his whole household, after their encounter, declare their faith in Jesus Christ. Luke 19:10 says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." You know, friends, if you and I could stand before Jesus right now in this moment and ask him, "Jesus, why did you come to earth?" I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if he quoted Luke 19, verse 10. Why do we celebrate the birth of Jesus? Because of this purpose declared by Jesus himself. "I came to seek and to save what is lost." He came for you and me. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever lost something? I mean, have you ever lost something of great value and looked for it, hoping to find it? I remember when I was a teenager that my father lost his eyeglasses. And he had them in his favorite living room chair where he would read the paper each day. But they were gone. We couldn't find them. We tore the chair apart. We searched the living room everywhere. I went through his clothes, couldn't find the glasses. And he was heartbroken. Actually, he was mad because they were new glasses. And they were gone. A few days later, I went to the basement to do one of my least favorite chores. Every day, my mother would put the red newspaper down there on a shelf. And occasionally, I would go down and neatly stack them and bind them with baler twine and get them ready for recycling. Imagine my surprise while stacking the newspapers to find my father's glasses. I think that day I became his favorite son when I went out to the garage and say, "Hey, Pop, look what I found here." We all know what it's like to lose something or someone and how difficult that can be when we can't find it or can't bring them back. We understand what it means to be lost. When we think of the Christmas story and why Jesus came to earth, we need to remember that we are the reason that he came. He came seeking the lost. We are Zacchaeus. In the story in Luke 19, Jesus is on his way to the cross. He's passing through Jericho, just a few miles outside of Jerusalem. He's in the final week of his life. In fact, later in chapter 19, you'll read about the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus is focused on Calvary, but he doesn't allow that focus on the cross to keep him from seeking a lost sheep. Earlier in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three stories. In each story, something is lost, something is searched for until it is found, and then there is rejoicing. In the first story, it's a lost sheep. In the second story, it's a lost coin. And in the third story, the most popular story, the story of the prodigal son, a lost son is found. In each of these stories, something of value was lost. In each of these stories, what was lost was found after a diligent search. And there was great joy when the lost was found. In fact, for the lost son who was found, there was even a party that was thrown. These three stories all reflective of why Jesus came to earth. why we celebrate Christmas. Because he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save you and me. The first point we want to make this morning about this purpose of Christmas is that Jesus came to earth to die. Jesus came to earth to die. And that's a sad way to celebrate someone's birth. But that's why Jesus came to earth. He came to die and to give his life as an atonement for our sins. He came, just as he said, to seek and to save what was lost. My wife will tell you that I never like to admit when I am lost. We may be going somewhere, and I think I know where I'm going, but when we don't get there and drive seemingly the wrong way, she'll say, "Do you want me to put the address in the GPS?" She used to say, "Can we stop and ask somebody?" But with technology, we trust the old GPS or the old phone, the cell phone now. I am reluctant to admit that I am lost, but the truth is, spiritually, we're all lost. We are all lost. Scripture says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are the ones Jesus came for. We are the ones he seeks to redeem. We are the ones not only he was born for, but even more so, we are the ones he would die for. Jesus' birth foreshadows his death, and is not the manger in Bethlehem, but rather the cross of Calvary, where we are redeemed. Galatians 3, verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Jesus came to earth to die. He came to redeem his beloved creation. He came for you and me. Many of you know the beloved verse, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gospel in one verse. That's the reason for Christmas in 24 words. But at the center of that verse is an interesting word, and it's the word whosoever. Whosoever. The modern word for that is whoever. Whoever indicates God's invitation to the world. In other words, the Christmas story, the unfolding of God's plan of salvation, is for whoever, meaning everyone. That's our second point today. God's plan of salvation is for whoever, meaning everyone. Whoever means everyone and anyone. Whosoever is God's invitation to the world. You know, Jesus could have very easily narrowed his scope and said, you know, I'm coming into the world to save simply the Jewish people. Or I'm coming into the world to save simply women. Or I'm coming into the world to save simply children. But he doesn't say that. For whosoever believes in him. Whoever makes it very clear, the story of Christmas, this gift of the Son in the manger is for everyone. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, this is not the last time we'll find that word whosoever in Scripture. Jesus says in Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. He would later say that whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever finds his life for my sake. Whoever does God's will is my brother, my sister, according to Mark 3:35. And outside of Lazarus' tomb, while the crowd is gathering, what does Jesus say? He addresses Mary and Martha and says, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Whoever is God's invitation into this great miracle, we are all invited. How often do you use the word whoever? We use the word whatever all the time, but usually in frustration. But whoever? When you're planning a party and make a guest list, do you include whoever? When you give gifts this Christmas, will you give gifts to whoever? When you send Christmas cards, you send them to whoever? We don't tend to think like that. We tend to think in terms of people in groups like family and friends and acquaintances and neighbors and co-workers and church family members and club members. We think in terms of relationship, but so does God. And that's why he says whoever. He is talking about relationship with every single human ever lived. When I look at the Christmas story, the idea of whoever springs forth from the page, as the angels announced the good news to the shepherds, what did they say? I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for what? All people, for whoever. And what happened after the shepherds found the Christ child? They woke up that sleepy town with the good news. Luke 2:18 says, all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. All who heard. Another way of saying whoever. Whoever is God's invitation into this great story. And when we look at the Christmas story, it involves a who's who of whoever. Mary, a peasant girl from Nazareth. Joseph, a carpenter, a working man, just wanting to get married. Shepherds, social outcasts. Smelly nomads thought to be common thieves. And then wise men, learned men from the east, all find their way to Jesus. The Christmas story is filled with whoever's. And that is part of the miracle of Christmas. We're all invited into this great moment in God's story. Our first point today is that Jesus came to die. And that's how he seeks and saves the lost through his death at Calvary. And the second point is just as important. God's plan of salvation is for whosoever or whoever, meaning everyone. He came for all people because we're all lost in sin. But there's yet one more point we need to make. And that point is simply this. We must choose to believe. We must choose to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's the invitation. But the invitation is to what? Believe in him. Max Lucado says that phrase, believes in him, doesn't digest well in our day of self-sufficient spiritual food. Believe in yourself is the common menu selection of the day. You know, you try harder, you work longer, you dig deeper. Self-reliance is our goal. But John 3:16 says, believe in him. Salvation comes only when we believe in him. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Whosoever is God's invitation to all people, and believing in him is what he asks. That's why Jesus came to earth, to seek and to save the lost, the whosoevers, the whoevers, which are you and me. And all he asks is that we believe. You know, friends, we get a lot of invitations in our lifetime, invitations to parties or weddings or dinners or graduations. But you know, the invitation isn't worth much. It is the event that is exciting. It's what the invitation is for that makes it so meaningful. The blessing is not in getting the invitation. The blessing is going and being a part. Believe in him. That's what Christmas is all about. That is what salvation is all about. Believe in Jesus Christ. So why Christmas? Because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came for you and for me. He came to redeem us. And we respond by believing. Just like Zacchaeus. When God called him out of the tree, without hesitation, he descended the tree, and he went with Jesus to his home. Jesus went to his home, changed his life. And how do we know that Zacchaeus believed? Luke 19, verse 8 says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I had cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. He believed in Jesus. Moments before, he was lost, hiding in a tree, when Jesus sought him out and redeemed his soul. Zacchaeus chose to believe. The Christmas story is filled with the call to believe. Mary and Joseph chose to believe. We know Joseph believed because after the angel's appearance to him in Matthew 1, he did just as he was told to do. He took Mary home to be his wife, had no union with her until she gave birth to the Son of God. And he named him Jesus, just as he was told to do. We know Mary believed when she responded to the angel, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And for 10 verses in Luke chapter 1, we have Mary's song, which describes her belief. Believing is our response to God's love. Believing is our response to His gift of His one and only Son. The shepherds in Luke chapter 2 heard the angel's announcement. They heard the angelic choir. But as magnificent as that scene was, and as it disappeared, they had to make a choice to believe what they'd heard or not. And they chose to believe and made their way into Bethlehem to find the Christ child. The wise men followed the star. We don't know for how long. Probably many months. They chose to believe that the Messiah had indeed been born. And they sought Him out. That's what Christmas is all about. Believing in Jesus, the one who seeks and saves the lost. Let me give you some takeaways from the message today. And the first one is actually a repeat of one of the points. That is, God's invitation to salvation extends to whosoever. To everyone. The Christ of Christmas is for all people. And I want you to remember that when your patience is running thin with the checker at the store line or with the person who said they were coming to fix something at your house at 10 o'clock and gets there at 2 o'clock. Remember that when even the worst people in our lives, you know, those ones that kind of get on your last nerves, they're loved by God and they're invited into His story. So may your witness this Advent and Christmas season reflect the love of Jesus Christ for all people. Second, may the Christ of Christmas captivate your heart. May you believe like Mary and like Joseph and like the shepherds and the wise men. May you believe even in the midst of your doubts and unbelief. Even when God doesn't seem to be close, the Holy Spirit's silent. Keep believing. Remember the words of Jesus, "Blessed are those who have not yet seen and believe." And lastly, remember that the birth of Jesus isn't worth celebrating without the death of Jesus. We aren't redeemed by the birth in the manger, but by our Lord's death on the cross. So we honestly need to celebrate Christmas with one eye on the manger and one eye on the cross. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." When you hear the carols of Christmas, this story, when you hear this season, when you hear the Christmas story told again and again, when we retell the wonder of that first Christmas through like Journey to the Nativity or a Christmas Eve service, or through sermons or Sunday school classes, remember that Jesus came to die. Why Christmas? Because He came to seek and to save the lost. He came for you and me. Next week, we'll wrap up this series with the final message of why Christmas, when we consider how a relationship with Jesus Christ restores our fellowship with God. How our prayers now become lifelines to God. How we have a life in Christ that is different than a life outside of Christ. We'll talk more about that next Sunday. But let me close with this. Christmas is about Jesus coming to earth to redeem the lost. That's why He came. That's why we are celebrating. When Jesus' birth was announced to the shepherds on the Bethlehem hillside, the angel declared, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." God sent us a Redeemer, His own Son, to save us from our sins, so that we who are lost can be found, that we who deserve punishment and eternal hell can be forgiven, restored, and wonderfully saved for today and tomorrow and all eternity. That is what the first Christmas and every Christmas since is all about. So my sincere prayer for you, for each of you, is that you would believe, and in believing, know that you have life. Both the abundant life that God promises in this world, and yes, the joy, the promise of life everlasting. Friends, it is still good news of great joy, and it is for whosoever. It is for all people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And just like He called out Zacchaeus from the sycamore fig tree. It calls to us as well. It invites us to believe. As we live in the Advent and Christmas story in these final days of Advent, Lord, we pray that we indeed might believe that Jesus did come for us, lived for us, died for us, and rose again so that we might have life, abundant life, eternal life, life in God. Thank you for your message to us today, a reminder of why Jesus came to earth to seek and to save the lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.